Kumulan and Ablak Gemara, we are up to Daf Nun Amid Beis on the very bottom of the page. By the two dots. So we're starting to learn about different minhagim. And yesterday we learned about that you have to continue with the minhag of your ancestors. Says the Gemara, Bnei Chozoi, the people of the city of Chozoi, Nahagu, they had a custom, the Mifreshe Chala Ma'aroiza. They would give challah from rice. They thought that rice has a din like grains, like bread. So they would separate challah and give it to the kohen to allow them to eat the bread. Which, obviously, rice is not bread, but they had that minig. V'omru leila Rabbi Yosef, and this was mentioned to Rabbi Yosef. Omru, he said to them, we're dafnun beis in the very bottom of the page. He said to them, neich lezor ba'payu. You know what? Because this minig is not really correct, so let somebody eat in front of them without giving any challah. In fact, let a zor eat the challah portion. Normally a kohen can only eat challah. Let a Yisrael eat it so they will see that it does not have the din of challah. Eisei Abaye, Abaye asks a question. There is a famous rule that says, Dvorim hamutarim, something which is permitted, hapi halacha, v'acheyim nogim and yisrael, but that people who are machmir, they don't do it. You have no right to go ahead and permit it in front of them. So how come you're telling Yisraelim to eat the challah that these people are machmir to give challah from rice? Now what is the reason why you're not allowed to be matir in front of them if people are machmir? So later on the Gemara of Chizda says the reason is we're talking about people that are kusayim, people that nation there of Kusa, which is questionable whether they're Jewish or not, but even at the time before we knew that they were all going to Har Gerizim to worship their idol, their observance was tenuous. Some mitzvahs they kept, some they didn't keep. So Rab Chizda said, they think that this is usur, and if you're going to be lenient on this mitzvah, who knows how many other mitzvahs they're going to be lenient with, or they're going to be much more lenient and with the whole mitzvah generally. So you're not supposed to be things if they think it's usur, leave it that way. So how come Rabbi Yosef, you are going ahead and in front of them you're going to tell people to eat the challah? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef answered back to Abaye, "V'lav mi eat melo din we learn Rabbi Chizda b'Kusoy." I take Rabbi Chizda literally. It's only talking about the nation of Kusoy. These people weren't Kusoyim. The people of Chozoy, the Chozoyim were not Kusoyim, and therefore I'm allowed to tell them that, or I'm allowed to say, guys, you know, hapi halach you're allowed to eat it. It's not challah at all. So Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, it's not just Kusoy, it's a logic behind it. So Abaye said to him, "Be Kusoy, my timer, what's the reason why we say Kusoy? You shouldn't be matter in front of them. Mishum de Misacha Milsa, the reason is, we're Nun Aleph and Aleph, three lines on the top. The reason is, Mishum de Misacha Milsa, because they're going to add other things to it, and they're going to come all confused, and they're going to be lenient when it comes to the real mitzvah. So these people here also are not very smart, they're not very knowledgeable, and they're also, if you're going to treat this whole thing lightly, then they're not going to give challah on anything. Elam Ravashi, Chazinan, this is how it works. E Ruben Oides Achli, the majority of people of Chazoy eat rice. And if you're going to tell them, and they give challah, they have a minute to give challah, if you're going to tell them, don't give challah, they'll think, they hardly ever give challah from wheat because they don't eat it. So the whole mitzvah of challah is going to be forgotten. Then do not, in front of them, eat that challah, let them continue with that minig. At least they remember the minig of challah. Loi neich lezor b'pai, do not eat it. Dilma mishtak, chetayit challah, they'll forget totally the laws of challah. However, the Yeruban dogon achlu, but if the majority of people actually eat normal grains, wheat, and other things that require challah, then, and some people eat rice, and they're machmer, then on the contrary, neich lezor b'apayu, let a Yisrael eat the challah in front of them, they should realize that this is not a good minig. Why? Because we are actually concerned with this minig. It's not just a minig. It's a minig that can cause a problem. Dilma osi la frushi min achiv ala ptur. Next time they might give challah using the rice, and have in mind that this should also cover a few loaves of bread made out of wheat, and it doesn't. And not only it doesn't cover those loaves of bread, you're not allowed to eat those loaves of bread. Umin apotur ala achiv. Or they're going to take from the wheat and have in mind, they are going to take from the wheat and have in mind these rice flour, so then it's not really challah, or from the rice, and they'll give it a challah, and it's not on behalf of the wheat, and the wheat is still tevel because you didn't give proper challah. without going through all the details, Tosis here, the Shita of Tosis is a number of other people, is that the way it works from Hogan is as follows. Our Mishnah that says that you have to follow the Minig, you know, and the Chumras, the place you came from, is talking about Minhagim that was started out by Gedolei Yisrael. And the Minig started by Gedolei Yisrael, you have to respect, and you have to maintain, you have to observe them regardless. If it's a Minig that did not start from Gedolei Yisrael, just a Minig that the community has, then the law is the pens. You still have to respect it in public, but not necessarily in private, in public. And as long as the law sort of makes sense. But if it's a law that is totally wrong, a minig, that a chumra that is totally wrong, it's a toss, then actually you can sit in front of them, like Rav Ashi said over here, this minig is a toss, because mistakes can happen, then you can sit in front of them and show them that they are wrong. Says the Gemara Gufa, let's analyze it. You just said, something which is bad, mutter. And people are machmir. You shouldn't be meikul in front of them. Omar Chizda says, this is where he said, it's talking about the nation of Kosoim. Says the Gemara Bekuli Amaloi, but everybody else, we don't care about. Everybody else, anybody else who has a minig, to be machmir. I have a right to sit in front of them and be lenient. But Tanya, let me give you a few examples, three examples where we see otherwise. All of them were the same family, but we see otherwise. There's no reason why two brothers cannot bait themselves together because they won't have any lewd thoughts. But in the city of Kavod, we don't want two brothers to bait together because that's their minig, their chumra is that if the family cannot bait together. A ma'ase be Yehuda ve Hillel bonos Rav Gamliel. Gamliel had two sons, Yehuda and Hillel. Sherochet sushnein ke'echad, they used to bait together in Kabul. The laws are in Kol Medina. Everybody started to slander them and say, "Hey, these people are pusta kalim. Look what how they behave." Omru they said me yameinu lo reinu kach, and the people were saying, "We never saw such behavior. Especially this is the nasi, you know, his children." The Nishmet Hillel, the Yotzel Beis Achitin, so Hillel slipped out and he went to a different room, so he wasn't baiting here with his brother. In other words, he respected their minig. You just said that only Kusayim have to respect the minig of a place. If the Machmir, here we see that Hillel and Yehuda respected the minig of the city of Kabul and they weren't Kusayim. Le Rotzel Leimelehen, they didn't want to say Mutornatim, Api Halacha, you're allowed to. That's case number one. Case number two. Yoitzim bekurdi kisum b'Shabbos. You're allowed to walk around with big loafers on Shabbos, even though it's possible that it might fall off. You might take them off, so easy to take them off. We're not worried you're going to take them off and show them around. So you're allowed to. Nevertheless, but in the city, Bidi, we don't want you to walk around with those kind of shoes because they were machmir, they wouldn't wear it. They were scared that people take it off, remove them, and carry them in the street. Umaisa, be Yehuda, be Hillel, again, the same two. But they're going to be a little, you thought they would have been smart, they would have smarted from the last situation and, you know, find out protocols, but they didn't. Sheyotsu, be Kurkis, be Shabbat, they walked around with these big loaves and Shabbat, be Bidi. The laws are laying on you. Everybody made fun of them. But Omru mi yameinu l'rinu kach. They said, we never saw such a behavior before. On Shabbos, walking with these big loafers, we were machmi, you shouldn't wear them because you might remove them and walk in the Rosh Hashanah, which is an Easter in the Torah. The shamtum, they slipped them off. The nosnum la'avdein, they gave it to their servants. The le'rotzu lo'im alehem mutarimatin, they didn't want to say that they are permitted. Now, I'm not exactly sure what it means they gave it to their servants. If their servants were goyim, so what, you can have goyim do an Issa deraisa for you walking on Shabbos in a shusarab and carrying it, allowed to do that. So I'm not sure exactly, unless they were going to watch them until Motzei Shabbos and then bring them home. It doesn't say what the role of these avodim were, what was the purpose of giving it to them. Not sure. And then the Yoishvin, case number three. And again, these people were not kusoyim, and yet they had a chumra in that city, and you're not allowed to be makel in front of them. Case number three. You had these benches that they ran in front of these stores, and they sit there, and they would, you know, they would handle and they would sell their merchandise, and you're allowed to take a rest there on Shabbos, like sitting at a bus stop on Shabbos. You're allowed to sit down on Shabbos, because people were not going to suspect that you're waiting for a bus or that you're planning to do business. But the Einon Yoshin al Safsal in the city of Akko, the Machmir, And they said, we don't want any Jews sitting on those chairs or benches on Shabbos. It looks like you're also involved in negotiations or in business. Umayse b'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, she yoshev asasav nochem b'Shabbos. He sat on one of these benches ba'aku. The laws of Kol HaMedina, everybody slandered him. Amron, they made the comment, me'yomeinu lo ri'inu kach. We never saw such behavior. Nishmet, he slipped a gabekak, he sat on the floor. Le'erot zolem, and he didn't want to tell them, mutorim atem, that you are permitted. So three examples we just gave, the people were not members of that tribe of Kusoyim, the Kusim, and yet they had chumras in these respective cities, and they didn't want to tell them that it's permitted. Says the Gemara, Taisa says one more clue, very important clause. When do we say you have to respect the chumra? If the people in the city know, api halacha, this is permitted. It's dvarim hamutarim. They know it's permitted. But v'nogu b'misa, they decided to be machmir. If it's a dvarim hamutarim, v'nogu b'misa, then you have to respect the chumra, because whatever reason, they decided to be machmir. But if they think that api halacha it's aser, then it's a whole different story. Then you don't have to respect it. Anyway, in Hilchas Purim, and I think Tzadik Beis, in Tofrei Tzadik Beis, the Ramah over there says you have to respect any minhag, even if it sounds silly to you. He talks about Haman, banging Haman's name, or erasing it on Purim. And then the Magen Avraham brings in a number of cases where halacha is even stronger, where minhag is even stronger than halacha. It says as far as the word minhag, if you turn the letters around, is Gehenim. That if you don't follow a minhag, or a minhag protects you from going to Gehenna, because this is our addition to the Torah. Chavivim malai divrei seifim yaisim medivrei Torah. Hashem says he enjoys, he appreciates our input, what we add on to the Torah, all of these different minhagim. Anyway, more answers. B'day kusayim doesn't mean only kusayim. That's only an example. Any community that are not very knowledgeable, you have to be careful, because if you are going, they think it's aser, and you are going to go blatantly, contradict whatever they say. They'll think, oh, well, then other things which are aser, they'll also be lenient with, even not realizing that halachically those things are aser. B'nei B'donami, people overseas, kivun de l'shchiche rabbanu gabayu, overseas, you don't have any rabbis living there. It's not common to have rabbis. Kikusim damu. You have to treat them like kusim, and the mistakes can happen. You don't want them to treat other mitzvahs lightly as well. Says the Gemara. Now let's just these the examples. Let's try. Every chumrah has to have a basis to it, some logic. If you want to respect it, it has to make sense. It looks like you're doing business on Shabbos. Okay, it makes sense why they don't want you there. In the case of those loafers, we're scared to remove them from your feet because they're so large and they easily slip off your feet, and that you will go ahead and carry them in a public street. Okay, you'll do anisa deraisa. El roichet in my time alone. Why shouldn't two brothers bathe themselves together? Says the Gemara Kedatanya, we learned. Im hakol adon roichet. In fact, two men are permitted to bathe together, because we don't think you're going to have lewd thoughts. Chutz ma'aviv, except your own father, the chambeth on your father-in-law. Because you might have thoughts thinking, I come from my father or whatever, and you might have some lewd thoughts. And your father-in-law, you might think where your wife came from. Ubal imay, or even the husband, your foster father, your stepfather, ubala chayso, your brother-in-law, the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda matib avi. Rabbi Yehuda said, your father, you're allowed to, but they covered avi, because if you're together, you can help him out and show him respect. Vuadin lebal imay, the same thing is the husband of your mother. You can show him respect, because the din is, as long as your mother's alive, you have a mitzvah to respect her husband. But also inu, and this community came along, and the gozer, they added shnei achi, two brothers, mishum bala chayso. They said, look, since your brother-in-law, you should be together, neither should you be with your brothers. So there's a basis for it, and there was a chumra that they took upon themselves. And therefore, as the Gemara will soon say, that you shouldn't blatantly, contradict what they're doing, but in the privacy of your home, you're allowed to, or in front of Talmid HaChacham, you're allowed to, because since they know that Hapei Halach it's Mutter, it's only a Chumrah that they had, and Talmid HaChacham are not going to make a mistake and think because you are lenient, or you came from a place of lenient, therefore they're going to say other things don't count as well. They're not going to make that mistake. Talmid Yichatzim Rabbi, before we get to that, a student should not bathe with his teacher, even Rabbi Tzorich, but if his teacher needs him, the Mutter, you're allowed to, again, out of respect. When Rabbi Bar Bachana came to town, Ochal, he ate the Ayatra. There's different fats. The fats on top of the stomach, the innards is Osir, the fats on top of the stomach. So you have fats which are one end of the stomach, which everyone agrees is asr, but fats which are a little bit on the other end of the stomach is questionable, a big argument whether it's asr or not. It's an argument of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. So Rabbi Bar Chana would eat. In Israel, they ate it. He ate that fats. And even though he came to Bavel, he ate it there as well. Because he came from a place that they were lenient. But in Bavel, they would not eat that kind of fats. Says the Gemara, Oilegabe, he had a visit from Rabbi Avida Sova, and Rabbi Rav Huna, he had a visit from Avida, the old person, and Rabbi the son of Huna, and Kiva the Chazin, as soon as he saw them, Kasia Minayu. So in the privacy of his home, he was lenient, because it wasn't a halacha came from the rabbis. It was a meaning they took upon themselves. In the privacy of his home, he was lenient, but as soon as he saw these two rabbis come in, he concealed it. Also, Amr Labaya went and they told the Baya what they noticed. Amaluhu Shavinchu Kikusoi. Why did he conceal it? Why did he conceal it? He concealed it from you guys because he thought you guys are just like these simpletons, these Amaratsim. And if you're going to see him eating that part of the fats, you're going to think that all fats are mutter, or you might make a mistake. In other words, he treated you like simpletons. So it's clear from here that if it's a minig, so this is what Taisa says, if it's a minig that came from the Rabban, from rabbis, of Choshev, a rabbi, it's called a minig Choshev, then even the privacy of home, if you're living in that city, you have to treat with respect, and you're not allowed to do it differently than what they're doing. But if it's a minig that just the people in the community took it upon themselves, it wasn't some kind of edict from the Rabbanon, then in public you're not allowed to, you have to respect it, but in the privacy of home, you don't have to. And if Tamid HaChamim are present there, it's not an issue because they understand the difference between a minig and what's asa. Tosis has a question, he doesn't answer. If a guy comes to me and asks me a shayla, in this community, everybody doesn't do this and this. But I know Api Halach is permitted, they're just machmer. Can I do it, you know, what about me, in my house? So Tosis has a question, because they're here, it's talking about Tamil Chum came to Rabbi Bachana's house and watched what he did. And he could have, you know, continued eating, is not a problem. But is he allowed to paskin for them that they can do in the privacy of their homes? Jesus arranged the question. Says the Gemara, so Rabbi Bar Chana, let's say Hodat Nan, Rabbi Chana agree, we learned in the beginning of our Perek, Noistin Olav Chumra HaMokim Sheyotze Misham, the Chumra HaMokim Shehalach L'Sham. Why didn't he have to respect it? Because this is the Chumra in this place. Chumra means it's only a minute, right? It's not a halacha. Like Mokim Shenogu, working at a Pesach in the morning. So it says in our Mishnah clearly that if you, even though where you come from, they're lenient, if you're coming to a city which is strict, you have to be Machmer. So why isn't he Machmer here? So we have two answers, they're very important. Abaye says, you know what? Abaye says, makes no difference when you come to a city if your intention is to go back home, to remain in the city, it makes no difference. It depends where you're coming from. Hani mili me bavel le bavel, or me eretz yisrael eretz yisrael, or inami bavel eretz yisrael. In all of these regions, if you come from a place that's one way and you're coming to a city that's another way, you have to follow all the chumras, whichever where you come from, where you're going to. Avel me eretz yisrael le bavel. But from eretz yisrael to bavel, Loy. From Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, if the meaning of Yisrael is to be lenient, and now you're coming to Bavel, which is strict, you don't have to follow the rules of Bavel. It's an exception. You know why? Kivan da'anan kaifinin luhu, because we are subdued to the people of Yisrael, because they have smicha, they decide the calendar, is avdinan kavasayu, therefore we follow exactly what they do. Even though in certain respects, as Tosfos points out here in Sanhedrin, you remember the famous Alav there says that Bavel was stronger, had much more authority. The Reish Galusa had the backing of the royal family in Bavel, much more powerful. That comes to cases of extracting money. But when it comes to Issa Veheter, Yisrael was far more knowledgeable. And Tosfos says an interesting thing. Why were the Israelis more knowledgeable than the Babylonians or Australians or Americans? He says two things. He says because in Eretz Yisrael they learned Torah Berabim. Not sure I understand what Tosfos means by that, because in Bavel they had all these big yeshivas. I have no idea what that means. But the second part of Tosfos is Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. The air in Eretz Yisrael makes you smarter. So the very fact that you were learning in Eretz Yisrael makes you smarter than those people who learn in Chutz La'aretz. And that's where the concept is, that wherever you are, you should try to make Eretz Yisrael, so you should have the advantage of Avira de Yisrael Machkim. Anyway, that's Abaye's answer. Come to Ravashi, introduces a new variable. Ravashi says, "Afilu temed al bavel, makes no difference. Al bavel, I don't care. It depends. Hani mili, it depends. Heicha de ein daita lachze, it depends. If you have no intention, Ravashi says, if your intention is to remain in the new place, that's when we say you have to follow the chumras of the new place. But Rabbah bar Chana died to Lazav. He was planning to go back to Israel. Therefore, he didn't have to follow the rules. Now, some say that Rabbi Ashi is only limiting his rule to Eretz Yisrael. Everywhere else, it makes no difference if what your intention is. While you're in a certain city, you have to respect what they do. But others limpshat, and it seems Tesis and most Rishonim limpshat, that makes no difference on Eretz Yisrael. If your intention is to remain where you are, you have to respect all the laws, even in privacy. But if your intention is to go back home, then even though in public you shouldn't blatantly go against them, but in private, you're allowed to do your own thing. Why? Because you intend to go back home. Says the Gemara, so you're telling me that if you intend to go back home, you're telling me that, before we go further, Rabbi Chana said, interesting to your son. He said, Bini, my son, Loi Soichal, you should not eat the fats that you saw me eating, and you are living now in bubble, you should not eat it. Loi Befanai, not while in front of me, or while I'm alive, Loi should Loi Befanai, even if you're not with me. Why? How come I can eat it, you can't? I'm not relying on myself, I'm relying on him. Because I don't really understand it myself. Whether he's around, whether he's not around. You didn't see him, you only saw me. But I personally am not paskening this way. Therefore, you should not eat. You should not eat at all these fats. That's number one. Says the Gemara, this seems to contradict the fly in the face of another similar idea where everyone is, whatever, certain people are lenient, and Rabbi Bachana was lenient, but he told the son there, in front of me you can join the leniency, but when I'm not around, you can't. Here he's saying, even in front of me, you cannot eat this fats. Where do we see that he contradicts that? The same Rabbi Bachana said, Soch li Rabbi Yechim el-Ozer. Rabbi Yechim once told me, Pamachas once, Nichnasi Yachav Shimon, Rabbi Yechim el-Kunya, but once following Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Yechim el-Kunya, Legin into the garden. The Notal, and he took Svichei Kruv. Svichim are like things that grow on their own. You didn't plant them, they grow on their own. And there was cabbage. And Shmita, now that the law of Shmita is where he said before, that when the crop it finishes the season, is over in the fields for the wild animals, you're no longer allowed to feed your domestic animals either. You have to now, it's called man beer. Whether you're allowed to continue eating or not is questionable, but definitely animals you can, it's beer. Some say beer means you have to destroy them, others say beer means you just put it out there in public, it's hefke for everybody, and you too can enjoy it as well. So the nota svuchikruv, he took this cabbage, and the ochal, and he ate it, and the nosanli, and he gave it. He gave me to eat. And he didn't, in other words, he didn't make it hefker. And this is the way Rashi learned, this is really after the time of the period when he should have destroyed or should have made hefker the crop. But he didn't when it came to cabbage. But Amalini he said, Allah said, Bani, Bifanai, in front of me, Achot, he said that Rabbi Yechim and Allah told me, while I'm alive or while you're with me, you can eat. But Shalai Bifanai, Eloi Tzvechub, if you're not in front of me, don't eat. Ani should Yisav Shemini Choy, I saw Rav Shemini Choy, Yisha Ochal, that he ate this cabbage, Kedai Rav Shemini Choy, Lismachalav, you can rely on him. Bifonav, Ushalai Bifonav. Since I saw Rav Shemini Choy, and he was the architect of that particular halacha, therefore I'm allowed to eat wherever. After you only see me, Bifonayachal, while I'm around, you can eat. You can rely on me, because I saw Rav Shemini. Not in front of you cannot eat. And yet the same Rabbi Bachana said before that he told the son, even in front of me you cannot eat. So before we get to that, my Rav Shimon, which Rav Shimon is this? The Tanya Shimon says, Kol HaSvichim Asuri, and all the Svichim, even things grow on their own, they are forbidden, Chutz Mesvichim, except cabbage. Why? She'en ki yoytz behem be'erika, so it's different, all of the vegetables. And Rashi gives two pshat, he doesn't like his first one. But the second pshat is that all the vegetables are seasonal. Cabbage seems to grow throughout the year, it goes throughout the entire winter. So therefore, it outlives all the other vegetables, and its zman beer doesn't exist. And the Chacham say, Kol HaSvichim Asuri, Chacham say, all Svichim are forbidden, because if you can allow certain ones and not other ones, it's a problem. The Tavayu Libra Rabbi Kiva, and they both follow Rabbi Kiva, who says that Svichin generally is Asa. Not everyone agrees that it's Asa. So even, we're talking about, even according to Rabbi Kiva, that says that Svichin, things that grow on their own in the year of Shmita, also you have to make Hefker. But they're arguing regarding cabbage. What's the story? The Tanya will learn, it says in Pasuk. People are going to wonder, how are we going to survive if we, the entire year, everything allowed, the land is allowed to be fallow, and we don't plant anything? How are we going to eat? You tell me, what are we going to eat? And they're going to say to themselves, they're going to say, "Hein lo nizra, we didn't plant, v'lo nesef, we didn't gather it for seinu, how are we going to survive?" And then the Bishop says, "I'll give you a bracha." Now, what do you mean if we didn't plant and we didn't gather? If we didn't plant, of course there's nothing to gather. So the Kiva says, didn't gather is talking about things that grew on their own. We didn't plant, nor did we gather the things that grew on their own. So the Torah clearly interdicts against eating things that grew on their own. It's svichim are forbidden. And the argument is, what about cabbage? Are we going to be geyser or not? If you don't plant, we're going to gather mekan from here. The svichim shein asudin. The Micah Mifugis, how come Shimon says that cabbage is permitted? The Rabbanon said no. Rabbanon hold gazin and svich, kruv and shashir yama. Rabbanon hold, we are worried about cabbage because of other svich. And Abshimon said, loy gazin, when I worry about svich, kruv, otto svich, alma. Anyway, so the Gemara asks that he contradicts himself, and we don't really have an answer. Says he went further. It says in our Mishnah, if you're going from a place that doesn't work to a place that does work. Now our Mishnah says, if you're going from a place that doesn't work in the morning to a place that does work, or a place that does work in the morning to a place that doesn't work, you have to take the Chumras HaMokim Sheyotza Misham. Or if you're going from a place that does not work, in other words, they're Machmir, to a place that is linear, does work, so you take the Chumras from the place you came, and then the Mishnah concludes, Al Yishana Adam Bnei Machlekes, don't change because of the Machlekes. On which of these two cases is the Mishnah trying to explain why is it you have to respect the Minig, either where you came from, the Minig where you're coming to, because we don't want you to have a Machlekes. So says the Gemara. Bishleimer, I understand the first case. Aholich min makom sha'oisin. L'makom sha'oisin. I understand. If you come from a place that is lenient and you're going to a place which is Machmed, they don't work, and we're telling you, you shouldn't work, respect the local laws, local traditions, and because we don't want the machlekes. That makes sense. If nobody works and you're working, you know what kind of machlekes is going to be? People are going to call you a Russia, all kinds of names. Noistin olav chumrim mokum shahalachim. I understand. You go, you're machmir like the place you're going to. Baal yishan adam le machlekes. We don't want you to in any way deviate from everybody else because you could cause an argument. Fine. V'loy lavet. El memokum, the next clause in the Mishnah. Memokum she'ein oisin. If you come from a place that's lenient, that's machm, and you're coming to a city which is really, they're all working. Al yishana odom lechaykin, we say be machm like the original place and don't work. What do you mean? What kind of machlekes? And if I do work, what kind of machlekes am I going to cause? What does it mean? The Navi, Ha'amir, you said, it sounds like the Mishnah saying, we don't want you to be different than everybody else because of a machlekes. In other words, go ahead and work. Which means don't follow the chumrah where you came from. It's contradicting itself. You tell me I should follow the chumrah I came from, and then you tell me don't behave differently than the local people because you might have a machlekes. So which one is it? The Bai said you're right. Areisha. This clause of machlekes is only referring to the reisha. In other words, if nobody else works there, don't work in the new place either. Otherwise, you'll have machlekes. But if everybody else works, you shouldn't work either. Too bad. There will be machlekes. Too bad. Because you have to follow the chumras of where you came from. Rava says no. La'olam ha-sefer. This actually also explains the sefer. Even though over there everybody's working, the place where you came from that didn't, don't work. And don't worry, because this, the only reason generally is because it causes an argument. This won't cause an argument. If you don't work, you think people will jump to the conclusion that you're a machmir, they might say that you're lazy, or they might say you don't have a particular job that day. This is not a problem of a machlekes. My kama, what are you worried about? Haroy ayma melach asura, melach forbidden, meimar amri. People say, kama batloni hava b'shuk. So many batlonim in the street. So, okay. Says the Gemara. Now, the next piece of Gemara is a few lines, but this is the crux of the argument about if an Israeli comes to Australia, how many days Yom Tov should keep, or an Australian goes to Israel, how many days Yom Tov should keep. As you know, it's a major argument in the world today, and it starts from this, the whole thing is based on these two, three lines in the Gemara. Amale Rab Safra Labaya, Safra Setabaya, Kigoyin Ano, take us for example, the Yadinam Bekvir Yarcha, take us for example, we know exactly when Eretz Yisrael, when the new month is, we know exactly when it is. We're talking about, I come from, you know, we're in Israel, and therefore we know exactly when the new month is. We keep only one day. But what happens if I come to What happens if I go to Chutz Laretz? If I go to Chutz Laretz, the Yishuv is an inhabited place, people are living there. Loi Avidna. I have to behave, conform to the people in Australia and also observe the second day. Why? Because since that's the Chumrah of the Makom where they're at, so I have to follow them as well. And this is only in public. And Tesis says, however, look at the top Tesis, B'yishuv lo yavdina, afilu b'tzina, even in the privacy of your home, b'afilu daite l'achze, even if your intention is to go back to Israel while you're in Australia, you have to behave exactly like Australians, l'efshel l'melocha b'tzina, because you cannot do work hiddenly, k'moshad, like other things. However, the Ravaz says, and others say, the Marit says, you should put on tefillin, and those things which are done in the privacy of your home. But otherwise, you have to behave exactly like in Eretz, like in Chutz Laretz. Where we are lenient is, let's say, it's 2 days Yom Tov, Thursday and Friday, and Shabbos. Then you don't have to make an Eretz Shilin from Friday to Shabbos, because you're an Israeli. So technically, it's not really Yom Tov for you, so you don't have to. But it's clear from here that if you're an Israeli who comes to Australia, you have to keep 2 days. If you follow the logic, if you're an Australian going to Israel, you should only keep 1 day. I'll get back to in a second. You shouldn't do anything because we don't want to have an argument. My question is, I left Israel, I'm on the way to Australia, but I'm stopping somewhere where there are no Jews, no Jewish establishment. Do I still continue like in Israel? My intention is to arrive in Melbourne, but right now I'm in Darwin. Do I still continue like Israel and keep only 1 day, or do I not have to keep 2 days because I'm already outside of Israel? Once you join the Jewish community, usher, you have to follow what they do. The midbar mutter, but in the midbar it is permitted because you haven't yet joined the Jewish establishment. When it comes the other way around, there's a big machlekes Chacham Tzvi and others. And to make a long story short, the Mishnah Berurah paskens clearly that if an Australian goes to Eretz Yisrael, you have to keep 2 days in Israel. Because since Daiter Lachza, the main thing is, since you intend to go back, you have to keep 2 days in Israel. If you go there with your wife and your whole family, so that's when the Acharonim start having all kinds of discussions. But even then, most people who follow Mishnah Berurah will keep 2 days. And that's why you go to these hotels and have this American minion. All Americans follow generally that. The Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions. First opinion he brings that if you're an Australian, he goes to Israel, you keep only 1 day. And then he says, V'yesh Chilkin. And that those who argue says you keep 2 days. But from other parts of that particular simon, it seems you should actually keep 2 days while you're in Israel. But from simon Aleph, the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch, in the Madura Basa, in the second edition of the Alter Rebbe, there he says that every country, Hashem manifests itself differently. So in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem manifests itself. Both days Yom Tov happen to come out in 1 day. Whatever we achieve in 2 days in Israel, they achieve in 1 day. And while you're in Israel, it sounds like from the Sugrayim there, from the parentheses there, then that's the Yom Tov. There's no Yom Tov after that. So that's why in Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch is not so clear, and that's why different Rabbanim in Lubavitch paskin differently. And it used to be that most used to paskin, you keep Israel 2 days. Now a number of, especially the Israeli rabbis and Australian rabbis, say you keep only 1 day. The American rabbis always used to paskin 2 days. The new ones, I don't know. Says the Gemara further. It's all based on this little Gemara here. Take a Gemara further. Rab Nosson bar Asya Ozel mit Rab Nosson, we'll finish with the Gemara here. Rab Nosson, the son of Asya, went from the Yeshiva of Rab. He went to Pumbedisa. Be Yom Tov Sheni Shalat. He traveled on the second day of Yom Tov, which is a bit odd why he did that in the first place. But he traveled on the second day of Yom Tov. Because remember, today we know the calendar, and it's only because of Minig Avaseinu B'Yodeinu. So it's only a minig, a tradition, and he decided that on the second day of Yom Tov for Shavuos he would travel. Says the Gemara. And so some people want to say that he actually, even though it says clearly Mebei Rav, that he went from the Yeshiva of Rav, which is probably, Bei Rav could be. What do you call it, from a place in Bavel to Bavel, but others want to say that Bei Rav was in Israel, and here he was an Israeli, and therefore he arrived on the second day. He took a flight because it was no longer Yom Tov, and he happened to arrive in Bavel on Yom Tov. Sham Tei Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef put him in Chedim. Amle Abaye said to him, you just put him in Chedim, but Lenagdei, Mar Negide, why don't you give him lashes? Amle Adifa Avdilei. What do you mean? Cherem is even worse than lashes. This is a greater punishment. To excommunicate somebody is far worse than lashes. The Marav in Eretz Yisrael, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, what do they do over there? They actually avoid Mimnu Anegida de Barberav. They'd rather give, they counted and they decided it's better to give lashes on a yeshiva bacher, on somebody who's a significant person, let's not put them in chedim, because it's a label that remains, that sustained, that remains forever. Let's just give them the lashes and get over numbered. So lashes is less than chedim, and I put them in chedim. So what are you worried about? Ikidam is another version, however. And the halacha is like the second version. Nogdei Rabbi Yosef, he gave him lashes. Other way around, he gave him lashes. Why don't you put him in chedim? That's worse. If somebody does not follow the 2 days of galus, we put him in chedim. If somebody says, we know the calendar, we don't have to keep the second day of galus, we put him in chedim. The worst possible punishments. Why don't we do the same thing here? He said, an ordinary person who does that, because if they're going to flaunt this particular rule, they're going to stop listening to all the words of Chachamim, and that's very dangerous. This young man here is a rabbinical scholar or rabbinical student. The tovelei avdei, that we're doing him a favor. We want to give to a rabbi, we give a lesser punishment because we think that they'll come to the senses and it won't happen again. And I'll prove it to you that lashes is a lesser punishment. The merav and mimla negada to the bar beirav and mimla shamta in Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to yeshiva bacher, they'd rather give lashes rather than placing in chedim, and so putting in chedim is a far worse punishment. And because he was a turban merabanan, decided to give him the lesser of the two punishments. Okay, continue tomorrow, mitzvah Hashem.